Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knitter ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne.
A lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and today is a beautiful, glorious, happy, happy day. Chris, you know why, right?
It's because we have finally reached the last song on the main, like, track listing of Donda. Is that it?
Oh, well, that's also awesome. I mean, personally, I'm happy because I'm going to be going to Cold Stone Creamery tonight. We've made plans. I got a little date with my wife. So I'm really excited about it. But actually, yeah, that's probably bigger news. What you just said.
I mean, that will be exciting. Cold Stone Creamery is great. Do you have like the set ice cream that you get every time? Like, you know, going in, what you're going
to grab? I just tell them to combine everything. That's like my special.
That seems like an exaggeration.
You got a little waffle cone, a little Captain Crunch, including the crunch berries. Basically, I throw all the cereal in there. That's kind of what I like to do.
So you go to Cold Stone Creamery, you get a bowl of cereal, yep. You ask them to put some melted ice cream into it.
Yeah, I bring my own cereal. And
that would be... Actually, I'm now picturing melted ice cream and cereal. Is that good or is that bad?
It's delicious every time I have it.
Okay, good. Well, I'm happy for you.
You think I would just stay home and make this and not spend money at Cold Stone?
It's more fun that way. You know, you get out of the house.
Yeah, I like
go
the experience.
Do something. Tonight, I will be putting the final preparations on for the charity portion of our Best Kanye West Song Tournament Deathmatch Extreme 2021. Mm. We have 8 special guests that have drafted teams of Kanye songs to go head-to-head to see who has the team that lasts the longest in the tournament. So whoever has the last song standing gets to pick where we donate $800. So that's pretty exciting.
I like what you did there. First of all, you like one up to me. Like, I'm going to be eating ice cream tonight and you're going to be doing charity work. and second, I'm so excited for the 2021 Best Kanye West Sound Tournament Deathmatch Extreme. But by the time people hear this episode, we'll be several days into the tournament. So make sure you get in there and vote on your favorite songs.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. Just go to our Twitter at Kanye Podcast and you'll be seeing 187 songs.
Something like that. Kanye, I never thought I would say this, but Kanye, you have too much music.
Too many songs. Too many songs.
Too many good songs, tournament. Too. Like, it wouldn't be so bad if there were some, like, shitty songs in there, but there are only, like, one or two shitty songs.
Yeah, the rest are just bangers. So, that's fun. It's going to go from December 1st to December 25th, and we'll crown the Year 5 winner. Runaway won in 2017, Blood on the Leaves in 2018, Devin in a New Dress in 2019, and St. Pablo won in 2020.
Wow.
So we'll see what comes out on top this year. And also want to give a special shout out to Fantano, you know, the guy that hosts the Needle Drop. Anthony was kind enough to contribute to the charity pool. So the money that we'll be donating this year is up over 50% from what we donated last year. So... thank you to Fantano for making a contribution like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love having him in the Kanye camp and being a part of what is, I mean, I don't want to overhype this, but the most important event of the year.
Hands down. Hands down. You know, it's consistence, year five, and glorious. So
yeah, man.
But speaking of glorious, No Child Left Behind.
Gosh. Oh, God. Am I ready for this? I don't know if I can do this on justice. I mean, there aren't many lyrics, so, like, there's only so much we can do. But, like, you might as well just... I mean, I think you should listen to the podcast, but you could also instead just listen to the song as many times as it takes you to listen to this episode, and it would be much more powerful.
That's a great endorsement of the show.
Like,
but
listen
very
to the
accurate.
Song 20 times.
Yeah, and you'll be good. You'll be like, I get it. It has seeped into my bones and become part of my marrow, and I no longer need to hear what these two have to say about the song.
These two.
These two. Those two. But this is a song that's been pretty big for you, at least like early on in the Donda experience, right? When this first premiered as part of the Sha'Carri Richardson Beats commercial, back in, early July, July 19th or something, ahead of the first listening party, this was something that was already exciting for you. And then when we were at the first listening party and this came on, you essentially just were like happy as can be, right?
I floated toward the top, towards the top of the stadium a week ahead of Kanye. I love this song to death. I remember because in the Sha'Carri Richardson commercial, it's just a snippet of the song. But even like that little tiny portion, like what I was hearing, I was just so taken by it for many reasons. Like one of the big reasons was how ambient heavy it was. And that's not something we're really used to with Kanye, not used to in hip hop period, just like how resounding and full the sound is on it. And it just like encompasses you, especially when you have headphones on. Like, it just becomes this very transcendent experience. And then on top of that, just hearing it at the first Atlanta Live show, like in that arena, like really engulfing you, maybe a little too loud, but still, like it's still pretty incredible to experience something like that. And since then, I mean, I've continued to love it, but I think I started to think of it as more of an epilogue song, like not a song okay. on Donda. But after doing, so I came back to the song today. I feel like I've taken a bit of a break from it because I've been so consumed with Donda and trying to figure out Donda and the ins and outs of like these really complex songs, like, you know, Off the Grid and Jesus Lord and Come to Life. But man, listening to No Child Left Behind today, like it took me right back to the very beginning. But even more powerful now because it's after everything we've talked about, like this song is, it's pure release and catharsis and beauty and glory and spirit. Like it, I'm blown away that it's able to so beautifully capture and cement everything the album's doing musically. Again, there aren't many lyrics, like, and what they're talking about, of course, is very interesting and we'll get into the importance of it all, but musically, I don't know if there's another Kanye song like it. I mean, I hate to say that because it's only 3 minutes long and it's mostly organ, but it's, I'm just taken by it.
And I mean, what you're getting at with like that no Ye song like it, I think what you're getting at is just that degree of ambience and resonance that we get. And there are other ambient songs on this album, right? But there's something about how gospel-centric this one is in terms of having that organ sound that's kind of like elevating and driving, and you feel that degree of religiosity to this song. Like that there is a light like piercing down and No Child Left Behind and Kanye is rising up. Like I think you get that sense of rising with how you have that one note that's kind of driving through the song and adding a little bit more of a Sunday service vibe to the whole thing. While also not being overwhelmed by a lot of other production elements or the choir coming in. Like I think back to 24, right? And 24 is another song that's very like spacious. It has that like church feel to it, but it also has kind of like a good amount of sounds mm-hmm. that are part of it, and some layers and variety, where this just feels a bit more like stripped down and open air. It's kind of like a stadium without a dome, kind of thing. Like, I feel like you're just kind of open to the sky in this song and getting closer to the sky as you're going. And I can think of other Kanye songs that have that religious lean to them, right? But maybe not other Kanye songs that have the ambience and religious lean that this has, and the strip back dynamics and all of that.
Yeah. And just within all that, like, it is, it sounds like a song that just does one thing the whole time, but it kind of does do something beautiful, which is that the organ comes in really low, and then that high note comes in, you know, and it that goes for a bit, and it keeps like looping back and forth, like low, high, low, high. I mean, I feel like that perfectly captures a lot of what Kanye's doing on the album, but just life in general and how we feel at the end of so many journeys. Like, it is this like push back and forth constantly, like these low moments where, like, you know, you're counting on God, or you're counting on people in your life, or you're counting on yourself, like you're trying to pull through, and then these uplifting transcendent moments where you break through and you see, like, you know, that next step. I love how the music goes back and forth like that at the end of an album where we've seen so much of that, so much positive and negative energy. It's and not necessarily negative, I guess, but it just, you know, just the nature of life, the highs and lows. It's the song kind of subtly gets at that idea, and it has more complexity because it's not just like, you know, religious and spiritual. It's something, it's more, it's like, it's capturing life. It's capturing what it's like to be alive and like trying to make it, you know.
And there's something about you mentioned the repetition, or that like that rhythm of the loop that happens on the song, which is not the first time he has done that on a religion-inspired closer. Mm. You think back to Jesus is Lord and how Ye repeated kind of the same things. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. Mm. Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And as he's repeating those lyrics, you're also getting the, like, all the orchestra instruments, all the brass instruments kind of coming back in and building up and looping and having this like power that's increasing. And right before you get that crescendo on that song, it cuts off, where here you don't get the same cutoff. Mm-hmm. So you get that, you have like a little bit of a like closure to this in a way that you don't have on Jesus is Lord, but you have that similar sense of like building and power and feeling like some presence there, right?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's and while I do feel like Jesus is King is an album where like he fully comes to terms with God and is like in tune with God, there kind of is that inkling of like there's a next step, like where does Kanye go from here? And Donda is, and I feel like we've talked about this several times, like it feels like the first album in a long time where like there is so much closure, like Kanye has reached this resting point. And of course, like there's always work you have to do in yourself. And of course, there's more to do for Kanye. Like he still has lots of problems in his life to tackle and lots of things he wants to accomplish. But yeah, I that's what I get from this song, is like the release, the catharsis. Like it's so cemented in a way that I don't think I've ever felt on a Kanye album before, including the end of Jesus is King. It's, I don't know, it's just powerful in a different way that I can't explain.
And I feel like there's some structural aspects and some thematic aspects that, even if unconsciously like realized, give some sense of closure to this. Like you think about the idea of No Child Left Behind. The album's called Donda, right? That's one of the things that jumps out to me, like kind of immediate with this being the last song, is that Donda is Kanye's mom. She passed away. Here he is still on earth and she's like up in heaven. And he talks about that specifically on Jesus Lord, right? Like, can I join you? you think about Moon and the sense of distance that's there, like, don't leave so soon, like, going to the moon, this idea of I want to go to the moon to join you. And even with the album being called Donda, that first song being Donda Chant, which felt like someone reaching out to Donda, like trying to like reconnect with her, feel her presence, her spirits. And then you have the literal song Donda that has the speech from Donda. It's her presence on the album in the sense that you're hearing like her words from 2007, but it definitely feels a lot more like she's here. It's a tipping point. This connection has been reestablished. And it's after that song that we kind of get the upswing on the album. So to then close off with a song called No Child Left Behind, it feels almost like cared for in a way, like comforted. Like, right, he was able to rediscover some kind of connection with his mom while here on Earth, right? He is the child that hasn't been left behind. And he feels that connection through like God's presence, God's grace, the miracles God has performed, knowing that his mom is like in heaven, like on his behalf. And if we've talked about a bit of a dovetail between like Donda and God that Kanye seems to have had ever since making the song Only One, right? Mm-hmm. Like that she's kind of a his representative in heaven, or like she's the one that God's like kind of sending to talk to Kanye, work with Kanye, that kind of thing, that seems to be an agent of God in Kanye's mind. So then having this No Child Left Behind, you get this aspect of like God as the father, Donda as the mother, and Ye very much feeling like protected and cared for. And when the album's called Donda, right, that connection just feels cemented in a way that at other points on the album wasn't there and Kanye wished for it. Yeah. So I think whether people are aware of all of that or not, Kanye has at least structured the album in a way to give this sense of looking for your mom, having your mom, and then knowing that your mom's like still present in there, which adds like a degree of closure.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. Like the closure, I mean, that's huge for Kanye and part of this album by album journey we've seen him go on, trying to find himself, like find his purpose, find whatever his like defining path is. Like we've seen him go through so many emotions, trying to find like a stability through fame, you know, and then through family, and then through God. Like he, but mixed within all of that has been this journey of like being born again, becoming a kid again, like we hear him talk about in Ghost Town. And it's been really interesting to see him like maneuver within that and find what exactly that is. And it, of course, it's very complex. There's a lot of ways to get to that spot. But I think on Donda, like you're right. Like I feel like you're nailing it right there, is that it had to be done through Donda. Like he had to reconnect with his mom in a way, musically, spiritually. He uses this album to like work through all of these pains he's going through and try to reach up to his mom and find guidance through this, find the spiritual guidance through her. And all throughout the album, we've seen him like trying to tackle all these other issues that play into this idea of No Child Left Behind, like the kids that are being killed by guns in this country, the kids who feel oppressed by their government and by society, his own kids in his own life, like up and coming artists in the industry. Like there are all these facets that play into it, but none of that can work until Kanye himself discovers that, you know, he can't be left behind. He's a kid too. Like he needs to work on himself and get himself to a spot where he can help other people. He can do that through his mom. And that's what this album is like. That's what this build has been. Like Kanye's at a spot where he can tackle all of these things now. Like he's in a good place. And it's just incredible for like a single song to cap off that journey so well. Like it could end on Come to Life. Like that would be a meaningful ending to the album. But there's something just so transcendent and rising. And like this song puts Kanye towards like Come to Life is him coming to life, and this song is like the ascension. He's rising up. He's ready to take on that role. It's I love it. That's so amazing.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Yeah, you look at Come to Life, and it's very much like kind of a culmination of the emotions that Kanye had been feeling in relation to a lot of stuff with his wife, but also like him in the world at large.
Yeah,
and his children. It's very like grounded, right? It's very like earthly in terms of a song that's talking about like these are the things that I've been dealing with in my earthly life, but this album is so concerned with both the earthly and the heavenly that if you were to just end with a song that's so earthly, it might not have the entire resonance that you need. And you could argue that Pure Souls is also getting at more of the spiritual and heavenly, but Pure Souls is also kind of like grounded in Kanye's like past and emotions and current attitude. And then you have Come to Life being a payoff on a lot of the other like earthly concerns that he has. No Child Left Behind is like so firmly spiritual and so firmly like set in this realm of like the larger context, mm-hmm. the more macro aspect of everything that, yeah, I think it just has that scope and scale, despite it being such a small song that is a necessary cap to an album that is the most epic album that like Kanye has ever made. So something like this feels very fitting.
Ah, here comes the sun again. I ordered my blinds, they're on the way, but let's see. Anyway, yeah, I totally agree. That's just the most amazing part of the song. It's like how big it feels. Like it feels endless. The song just feels endless to me. Like it does go on for a while at the end with just music and no Kanye, no Vori. And it feels like it keeps expanding. Like, I don't know. It's just something. They just captured something incredible with this song.
No child left behind.
And we talked about No Child Left Behind in the context of Donda, but one of the other major themes on this album was, and we just kind of mentioned it, where Kanye is with Kim and his marriage and his family. Mm-hmm. We know that there was a song that was going to be on the album that made it onto the deluxe, Never Abandon Your Family, which was getting into some serious stuff in terms of the divorce, right? And this idea that Kanye was going to be distant from his kids and his children, and having a song at the end called No Child Left Behind, you, and how often the divorce is kind of cited on this album, it's hard not to think about this in terms of Ye also declaring in his own way that, like, I'm not going to leave my family behind, like, right. I'm not going to forget about my children. I'm still going to focus on like my family in the best way that I can. So that's also one of the aspects to this song. And then, as you talked about everything with younger artists and music industry, and we heard songs like Jesus Lord, where Kanye went into the story of how gun violence affects people. Vori and Lil Durk talked about gun violence and how that has affected them and the friends around them. So that's a major aspect. And we know that Kanye is trying to get away from that kind of violence and show people a better direction. Mm. So No Child Left Behind also taps into all of that. It's funny, it does share the name with the education bill from George W. Bush.
So funny.
Which, yeah, was such a disaster in terms of standardized testing that it created this entire ecosystem where schools just taught to the standardized tests.
Right.
Because that's what their funding was based on. Yeah. So you had teachers that were like abandoning some of the key things that they would normally teach just because they were so concerned with the test and the test was so emphasized. And the test wasn't always like the best thing for a kid to learn. It limited the curriculum. Like all the standardization ended up being like a bit of a problem. And Ye has talked about education reform being like a big issue that he cares about. We know that he not only started Yeezy Christian Academy during the pandemic, but he's now opening like, what was it? Donda Academy? Was that it?
Yeah, right.
Why am I blanking on the school name? Yeah. The school that he's just opened where he has like a high school basketball team already playing. So I don't think he's necessarily thinking about like the No Child Left Behind education bill and referring to that, but it's just it's in the realm like tangential to things that Kanye has been concerned about, and just looking at the future of children in America and the current state of children in America, I could almost hear him talking about the irony of how that bill failed and how we actually need to like not leave children behind the way that that bill actually ended up causing children to be left behind because it kind of forced a curriculum that wasn't good. And thinking about standardized curriculums is something that Kanye would just be against in general.
Right. Yeah, that is an interesting like crossroads because I agree there's no way the song is political. Like I doubt it, but I feel like Kanye's political trajectory, he's kind of open about the fact that he doesn't really know much about politics, which is a weird platform to be on. But I think he's taking a much more philosophical, ideological approach. Yep. So when we hear Kanye, you know, when he says No Child Left Behind, he's really thinking about it in the grand scheme of things, like we see him discussing on this album. He's thinking about this idea of advancing people in this country and putting people on a better path from day one. It's part of a bigger idea that I think Kanye has just been working on, and it comes through his music, his fashion, just like his general, the way he wants to lead and motivate people. That's always really been part of Kanye's message. So it is cool how No Child Left Behind naturally conflates with the song naturally conflates with the bill and like what that bill wanted to do. Like that is also what Kanye wants to do, and it's an interesting merge.
Yeah, like I don't think it was an intentional, I mean, you know, who knows, you could ask him and he'd be like, of course I had that in mind.
Yeah.
Or he'd be like, no, what? No. I would argue that that should be like a primary reading or even like an intentional thing, but as you're saying, like it is a nice like dovetail, intended or not, in how it lines up with the failure of that bill and what it attempted to do with standardization and everything that Kanye wants not to do. And then also, don't want to use like the A word due to YouTube's algorithm, but Ye has talked a lot about, especially in 2020 and even somewhat in 2021, about babies, right? Mm-hmm. And like trying to steer people away from like plan B, like,
right,
or getting rid of the baby, like that kind of thing. To where he's even on the Drink Champs interview talked about opening an orphanage or a center where women could just carry the baby and then give it away and know that it's going to be cared for, provided for, and that he doesn't want to stop people from taking that choice who want to take that choice, but he wants to give them an alternative. So that's been something that he was tweeting a lot about, is very much concerned with. So I feel like in No Child Left Behind, you get some of that as well. Like, right, we're going to create a future where the first choice isn't to X-nay
right.
the pregnancy, but actually, like, no child will be left behind. We're going to make sure every life is born into this world.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, Kanye's, it's the, like, dovetail. That was the word I was looking for that you used. It is like a dovetail between, like, what he's been talking about his music for so long and then just, like, what his, you know, what he wants to accomplish as a leader. It's interesting.
Yeah, so it's like No Child Left Behind is like pretty straightforward in terms of something to say.
Yeah.
But in context of Ye,
yeah,
it's loaded, especially in terms of like all the threads we've seen on the album and all the ways you could then apply it there, but then also all the things that Kanye has been talking about just in life and his worldview, right? Yeah. That he doesn't necessarily get into on the album, but we know are concerns of his in general. So a pretty loaded, excuse me, a pretty loaded song in that way.
Pretty loaded, incredibly spare song.
Yeah, right? Doing the most with the least.
I love it.
Back again, I use my back against the wall. Never caught on y'all, never count on y'all. I always count on God. Back again, I use my back against the wall. Never caught on y'all, never count on y'all. I always count on God. He's done miracles on me.
Okay, so we have Vori just starting with No Child Left Behind, right? Repeating that a few times. Kind of giving that like slow build and atmosphere. And then we get the verse starting, where Vori says, back again, I used my back against the wall. Never called on y'all, never count on y'all, I'll always count on God. So these are like, he repeats that twice, kind of like Jesus is Lord, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it's the bulk of the lyrics on the song. It's just No Child Left Behind, those, and then Kanye saying he's done miracles on me. There are some, like, I think the general takeaway we get from this is just like, things go south, but I can always count on God. Like, I know that he will be make it good again. And that encapsulates what we see on the album, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Ye's in a dark spot for much of the first half of this album. And then by the end of it, he feels made new again, purified. He's come back to life. And that, like, God was there for him. So, yeah, his back was against a wall. And God, like, saved him.
Right.
So, you do get this encapsulation of the album. And I do think back again also plays into that. And you talk about like the sense of catharsis or closure that this song has. You look back to how the album opens with Jail, and we talked about how it's on Lord I Need You, he talks about freedom, and then Come to Life, he says, when I'm mm-hmm. free, I'm free, which was a nice like coming full circle moment from being in jail to being free. And even like back again also implies like I'm out of jail. Here I am again. I'm back again.
Right.
So I feel like you get some like full circleness from that. We also have like God Breathed, which talks about like God bringing life. Like God gives the breath of life to someone. That's how he gave Adam life in the Bible, and brought people into this world. So God's breath is associated with life. We had Praise God, where Ye talks about coming out of the graveyard and back to life. And then we had Come to Life, which was the payoff on those things. So having back again also feels like a payoff on back to life, come to life, like here we are again, like back out of the graveyard, back out of jail. So I don't know if Vori was going for all of that, if Ye was like, use back again or any of that, but whether it was intentional or not, that idea of back again feels very in line with the journey that we've gotten over the course of this album, which is, hey, I'm in jail mentally, spiritually, emotionally, socially, but through God and through like my own work on myself, I'm now out of jail. And now here I am, back to life, back again.
I mean, No Child Left Behind, I'm looking at the track list tracker now. It's consistently been at the end of the album. And that's no surprise. Like, everything you're describing, put it at the end of anything, and it kind of conveys that energy. Like, you've got, because knowing it's a Kanye album, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. There's going to be a lot of adversity. There's going to be a lot of overcoming things and hurdles and obstacles. So like at the end, back again, back, my used my back against the wall. Like when my back against the wall, like that's what I'm at my strongest. Like it's such a Kanye sentiment. That it would, that line would encompass anything the album was doing. Like it's such a classic Kanye thing to do. I feel like his openers and closers always kind of have that feel, like they're very broad in scope, and very emotional. And so, yeah, that's not that surprising.
And I like, you pointing out Vori, like it's easy to hear, I used to have my back against the wall, or think that, 'cause when you think about having your back against the wall, you're like pressed, right? Things are closing in on you. You have nowhere to run. Your back's against the wall. It's kind of like if you're coming up on a deadline for work or for a school assignment, right? You only have an hour till it's due. Your back's against the wall. You're running out of options, ways to turn. So it has this sense of like, my back's against the wall, but I used, like, that's what I used. Yeah. It's so good.
I love it.
Like that's what I use to like get ahead, and like that and counting on God. So being down is what gets you up,
right?
Which is what Ye has talked about so often, which is why you're saying it's such a perfect Kanye line. Even though it's a Vori line, it's just fitting for like the Kanye energy atmosphere. And and then Never Called on Y'all, Never Count on Y'all. I don't read too much into this. I know that's probably shocking, coming from me, but it's like saying never called on y'all, never count on y'all feels like a little antagonistic in general. Like I never needed any of you. I never relied on any of you. Like I just needed myself. I just needed God. Like screw y'all. Which you could try to read into all of that and how it maybe differs from the tone that Ye had been setting down in the last like run of songs after Tell the Vision, right? Lord, I Need You, Pure Souls, Come to Life, and then this. But I think it's just kind of setting off like God, right? Mm-hmm. It's just showing that, you know, the people around you, they might help, they might not help. Like, you don't know if you can or can't trust like people, but you do know that you can trust God. You do know that God will be there for you. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's necessarily there to call out anyone, more so just to like set off how important God is and how powerful God is.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, I mean, just thinking about the energy and tone of the album. And you know, at the end, he's like trying to make peace with Drake. Like, it's like he's like looking for beef with anyone. Like, it's very open and spiritual and communal. So, yeah, that just seems like more of a Yeezus-y way to say, like, me and God are homies. Like, I only count on God. Like, and knowing the way Kanye's even talked about God, like thinking about a song, I Am a God, and how like this power of God comes from within. That's more how I read it. Like, when you're someone like Kanye and you face a lot of adversity in the public, society, and social media, like it can feel like your back's against the wall, like everyone's coming at you and actively trying not to understand the things you say, and really coming at you when things don't come out right. but like you count on God, like you channel the spirit from within, like you can empower yourself past this. That's the energy I really read. So yeah, antagonism, like if there is any antagonism to it, it's not really like the kind where like I'm gonna fight you. It's more of just like I'm so strong that like I can overcome anything.
Yeah, which some could like maybe be like, well, isn't that the whole thing that got him in trouble in the first place? It's like, yeah, but I think it's just a little celebratory.
Yeah,
and it's just supposed to be like, you know, God's the one and only.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. Go Kanye.
Slash Vori.
Slash Vori.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Rock. Rockt. Der neue T-Rock.
He's done miracles on me. 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 He's done miracles on me.
And then Kanye comes in with "He's done miracles on me," which kind of like puts it into perspective, right? It's not just he's done miracles for me. Like, oh, I needed like money and he gave me money.
Right.
Or I needed an opportunity and he gave me an opportunity. That would be doing miracles for someone. Mm-hmm. This is doing miracles on someone. Which gets at like your behavior, your perspective, right. All of those things. And that's what Ye's saying. Like, he's done these miracles on me to make me the person that I need to be, to get me in the mindset that I need, to get me like the outlooks that I need, the responses that I need to things. So, and that's one of the things that we kind of see over the course of the album with even how he's speaking about his relationship with Kim, right? There's different times he's talking about what happened in the marriage and where it went, and to have Come to Life be the final song and have this like awareness of what he could have done differently and what he should have done. There's just a change in perspective that we noted over the course of this season, from how Ye is talking on Jail through Believe What I Say. And then after that, after right. like Remote Control, when God like takes his hand and steers him in a new direction, right? After Heaven and Hell, when the devils get kicked out and start praying, and it feels like God's really asserting presence into Kanye's life. And then Donda onward as well, where the songs start taking a much more spiritual and religious change in terms of the production and the refrains and everything else. So like we see over the course of this album a change come over Kanye and the way that he's speaking and behaving and viewing things and talking about things. Like, we're witnessing the miracle be done on him as his approach to life is growing stronger and like better, like more positive, more like spiritual. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just an embodiment of the album.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know really what to add to that. The other big thing I feel like that's being done here, and it really is just a cherry on top of everything you've said, is the release of the ego. Like, this idea that that miracles are being done on you, that you need miracles to be done on you. Like, you are not the person that wills everything into existence. Like, God works through you. Like, when the word of God comes out of your mouth, when you're spreading the word of God, God is channeling his energy through you. And as long as you allow that energy to come in, and then as long as you expel that energy and release that light into the world, like, then you can do good things. Like, miracles are done on you. Like, you were in a bad place, and like God brought you out of it, and then now has put you on a better path. You didn't do this. God did. And that release of the ego has been a huge thing we've seen Kanye discuss and work on, both in his music and in the public. Like, he really thinking about that Instagram message he posted just the other day. Oh, yeah. When we recorded
the Thanksgiving prayer.
Yes, the Thanksgiving prayer, which was all about releasing the ego and becoming in tune with the world and thinking about the people in your life. Like, he owes all that to God. So miracles done on me. Like, it's a very loaded statement.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going to the Psalms, going back to the Bible, if you look up miracle in the New International Version and the King James Version of the Bible, you get 30 hits in the New International Version. You get 37 in the King James Version. And most of them, or a lot of them, are talking about either the Jewish people being led out of Egypt by Moses and the miracles that God performed to make that happen. So there's a lot of reference to that. And then in the New Testament, it's just reference to like the miracles that Jesus has performed and people not doing miracles like in the name of Jesus kind of thing. Like, don't use my name was one of the ones that I saw. But there is a Psalm, Psalm 77, that felt very fitting to all of this. And, you know, I don't know if it, I wouldn't say that it's directly where this came from in the way that some of what we talked about during the Jesus is King season, we're like, no, this is absolutely this psalm. Like, this is what it comes from. Hey, even on this album, we've talked about, like, this is from this Bible verse, this is from this Bible verse. So we do know that Kanye has lifted directly from psalms and Bible verses for some of these lyrics. Like, the Jesus is Lord lyrics were from Philippians 2, or Philippians, I don't know how you say it.
Sure.
But they directly say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, which Kanye took those and changed it into every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. So just kind of poeticized it.
Right.
So when we look at Psalm 77, you get, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the nights. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all of your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So it doesn't quite feel like a song, but you at least have that like part of like crying out for God's help, feeling in distress, and then remembering that like the Lord has power and does miracles and all of that, which it feels in line with some of the journey of this, though I wouldn't say that Kanye specifically had Psalm 77 in mind. It's just, you see how this is a recurring theme in the Bible, right? Not just from this Psalm, but so many stories and instances.
Totally.
There's this idea of feeling like lost and faint and God coming in and like performing a miracle on you. So very biblical.
Yeah, it's totally what I was, that's what I was going to say. Like, listening to you read that psalm, like, it feels like it's just the general spiritual journey. Yeah, you don't even have to think of it spiritually. Like, if you don't want to, if you're not religious and like you don't believe in God and that's not part of your life, like the entire journey of becoming whole again and getting past something and feeling renewed, like that's just something anybody can relate to. And in this album, like, there's so many instances of that, like all these little things you have to overcome in your life. Like, you're right, like, there's so many stories in the Bible that pertain to that, and that's why Bible is so motivating. Like, I myself am not religious, and like, and I still am moved by stories in the Bible and the things people go through and work through. It's just all part of the human experience, and it's something Kanye's so good at relaying over the course of an entire album, even if it's an hour and 20 minutes long. Like, Kanye's just reached this point where he's doing it so well that it's incredible.
Yeah, there's just that like resonance, right? Like, even if you don't like connect with the actual like literal aspects of one of the Bible right. stories or tales or a story from the Bible, there's something to the human element that you can just connect to, and somebody else is feeling empowered from that. You understand it, whether or not you agree with the specifics of it. You get the machinations, you get the emotion, which is why like listening to Jesus is King as like a non-religious person can still be a very powerful experience and very beautiful experience.
Yeah. Agreed. And okay, gosh, is there anything else to talk about?
I don't think so. I think just this song shows that there's like this sense of redemption that we get at the end of this album, this sense of transcendence that calls back to and pays off on the idea that we began with like chanting for Donda at the beginning, mm-hmm. like, 'cause you're wanting to feel Donda's presence and this connection between Donda and heaven and God. So when you're feeling Donda's presence, you're feeling God's presence, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And then with Jail and feeling like you're stuck, you're alone, you're isolated. And now at the very end, feeling a sense of freedom and openness and transformation. I think the album like comes full circle in that way. And it's just like, what a journey. Like,
yeah.
I was re-listening to Donda recently and just completely blown away by like the path it takes us along and the emotions that you feel. And it's just, it's such a film, you know?
Yeah. It's an emotionally draining experience for sure. It's, I feel like on top of everything you said, this idea of No Child Left Behind, like there's such care in that statement. I think Kanye has for himself, like realizing that he's a child that can't be left behind. Like on top of everything, like Kanye, as big as his ego can seem, like he's a very fragile, vulnerable person, and he has to concentrate on himself. He has to take care of himself mentally, spiritually. So that whole emotional journey you're talking about that you go on listening to this album, which, by the way, after you've talked about the album this much or listened to all these episodes, like, is an awesome experience to go through all that, to see Kanye going through all of those emotions. Here at the end, it feels just relieving, and there's like this release of tension, and there's this ascension happening that I don't think has happened on another Kanye album. Like, you're right. Like, the journey it takes you on is just so profound and legendary and next level for Kanye. He's kind of reached a new apex.
Yeah, which is far above, I think, what anyone else is doing. Like,
I would have to agree with that.
Is there another album that compares to this? And like, I love Damn, I love To Pimp a Butterfly, and Good Kid, Mad City, but I feel like even they start to feel smaller in comparison to what Donda is doing. Not to make this like a Ye versus Kendrick, or you have to tear down another artist in order to make this feel good. Like, those are some of the best works of the 21st century.
Right. Like,
album wise, it's just when I think about, is there an album that compares to this in terms of like scope, scale, contextuality, like the story that's going on, concept, right? Like, the closest things are Kendrick albums, and even the Kendrick albums start to feel like a little smaller to me in comparison.
It's just Kanye's on a different level, especially for what we like doing on this show.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, Damn is just like, it's the Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City, like there's so much to unpack in those albums. You could talk about it for weeks, but Kanye's just doing something that us movie nerds like specifically. He really is making movies and album for like it's incredible.
Yep. And this is definitely like this length of a movie, especially I started to incorporate into my preferred version of Donda, Never Abandon Your Family after Believe What I Say, and Life of the Party after Moon.
Yeah.
And then Good Up move. From the Ashes after Tell the Vision, I think, or Lord, I Need You. And that's extended the album to like an hour and 49 minutes kind of thing.
And you do so Jesus Lord Part 2.
And I do Jesus Lord Part 2 and Remote Control Part 2.
That's a long album.
It's a long album. So I'm like listening to it. I'm like, this is watching a movie. I'm just like laying here with the album on. I'm like, this is a movie. Like I'm
listening going to a movie.
Through a movie. Yeah. Oh man. Well, I guess that's it for our Donda lyrical analysis. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with our actual post-season wrap-up where we talk about highlights, highs and lows, surprises, and then, of course, our redefined song rankings.
Ooh, yeah.
We did the song rankings at the start of the season before we had gone through, and now doing them again at the end to see what changed, what has risen, what has fallen, if anything, you know, in that way. But I'm excited to see how we rank everything at this point.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at my list now. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited to listen to this album again. I'm going to give it a full listen and rank the songs while I'm listening. Oh man. I have no idea where this is going to go. This is going to be, I can't wait to do this actually. I forgot about this.
Oh yeah. All right. Look forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. But until then, we would appreciate it. And this is just, we don't think this is a insane request or anything, but we would really like it if y'all kept it wavy.
And stay loopy.
And I am. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.